This episode is brought to you by IT Pro TV, flexible and entertaining training for your IT career. Visit itpro.tv/TMS and use the code TMS to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. Coming up on TMS, hurry up or you'll be late for pot church.
Elon Musk might be bad at Twitter.
Vapors just about took down a plane.
Wow, even I don't know if I can say that. Sweet bucket seats.
Subway guy blows vegans' minds.
Major spoilers.
Trek nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
When you take those same lines I played to you forwards, reverse them, and play them backwards, you'll find that Jim Dandy wasn't making a senseless statement. He had something to say. Listen. Satan! Satan! Satan!
One Monday morning, I got up late, and there were these monkeys outside the gate.
The Morning Stream! The Morning Stream! The Morning Stream! The Morning Stream! The Morning Stream!
The Morning Stream!
The Morning Stream!
The Morning Stream! This car smells weird.
Everybody, welcome back to TMS. It is the morning stream for Monday, July 16th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, good morning.
Well done. Both, all the numbers correct. Yep. Good job on getting all those numbers right.
Once in a while.
Scott Johnson gets all the numbers right on TMS.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
That's right, unless it's digital.
Oh, that's
true. In
which
case, it's only right at 12 a.m.
Oh, it's only right like my microwave is
VCR.
Correct.
Yeah.
My VCR, yeah. We used to have that problem all the time. We'd have power outages when I was growing up a lot for some reason. I don't know why this neighborhood we had sucked, but the VCR is never set. Just always blinking 12 a.m.
Why bother, right?
I mean, why even mess with it?
Yeah.
Just tell time like the rest of humanity and don't look at that thing for that. That was only good for wearing out my bootleg copies of Empire Strikes
Fast
Back.
Fast Times Ridgemont High. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was all Star Wars all the time in that thing.
Your Fast Times Ridgemont High only got worn down in one spot.
No, there's one little point. Let you all guess what it might have been. Let's just say that I played the role of Judge Reinhold. Not Judd Nelson. Who's that? Yeah. Who's Judd Nelson?
He's Bender in Breakfast Club.
Oh, right. Bender on Futurama. Got it. Nailed it. All right. Hey, moving on. Welcome, everybody, and I hope you had a great weekend. Mine was sort of a weird mixed bag of things, but it was fun. It was all right. It's cool. Whatever. Mm-hmm. This kid that's growing inside my daughter's gestation unit is about this big now, about as big as my thumb.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a little curled
up. I couldn't
tell
from that hand configuration. I couldn't tell if you were going to make a horse on the wall or if you were going to show us how big the... the baby is now.
Oh man, I used to love doing that when I was a kid, trying to come up with shapes with your hand. And there were always people who were better at that than me. Like they'd be, here's a goat or here's a chicken or whatever. And I could never do those. I can do a dog.
Yeah.
There's my dog. Roof,
live long and prosper dog.
Yeah, live long and prosper dog. Anyway, one of the highlights of the weekend was Incredibles 2. We saw the movie there.
Yeah.
Now
very good.
It was against. Whatever. We're still going to see Ant-Man and the Wasp, but we just said, well,
and
what are
Deadpool
we doing?
Deadpool 2. You got a lot.
I have a lot of movies to see. Some of them may end up on the small screen, if I'm being
None
honest.
None of the three that we met, you've already seen Incredibles 2. The two that we just mentioned should not be seen on the small screen.
No.
Wait for, small screen, Ocean's 8, totally fine. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, TV, even a little iPad, iPhone screen, just fine for that one. But Ant-Man and Deadpool, come on.
Yeah, I feel like you're right.
I know you're drawing a bunch of cards
and
all that, but those need to be watched as big as possible.
Well, we're going to do it. But we started with Incredibles 2, and I am so happy to report that one of my favorite movies of all time got a nice sequel. That's a fine sequel.
It really did, yeah.
It's 14 years later or whatever, but it's the whole team, directors, writers, actors, whatnot. And it's fantastic. I liked it a lot.
Now, how were you able to watch Incredibles 2 with all the tears in your eyes from that digital short at the beginning?
So I have this trick that I should share with people that I do. So whenever Blizzard, whenever Pixar has something heart-wrenching, right? Which is often true. They're little. Sometimes it's in their little intro ones. Sometimes it's in the main videos themselves or the main movies themselves.
Sure.
First 10 minutes of Up, for example, that sort of stuff. When they start pounding on your emotions there, I have this daughter I go to movies with who's already in like full-blown hysterics, tears. So I just look at her and then she punches me in the leg and it's distracting enough that I don't actually get caught up in the emotion of it. So that's how I avoided that. But that was an awesome little thing. My gosh, that was good.
Yeah.
That and was do you so like, good.
Do you remember the thing I told you about? I think somebody told me on Twitter or said in the Tadpool that if you imagine that the husband just went out and found a male prostitute whose head kind of looks like a dumpling to kind of help her get over her separation anxiety, then it's great.
Wow. That really changes that
it
scene.
Changes the whole thing, yeah.
Dang, dude. No, I'm so glad you said this after. I didn't hear this before the thing.
I'm glad, because otherwise you would have been probably laughing your head off.
Oh, I would have lost it, but that would be, again, another way to combat the emotion. That was a good idea. But it was nice, and it just made me hungry for dumplings, proper ones.
Oh, kind of did, yeah.
Yeah, even
It's funny, we both have women in our lives, Tina for me, but if she's crying at something, like, you know, we're watching a very special episode of Blossom or something, and I look over and she's tearing up, all I have to do is look over at her. I don't have to make a comment. I don't have to make an expression on my face, nothing. And she gets mad at me for her being sad about whatever it is.
Yeah, that's like Carter. It's the same thing. I think it's just exactly. It's not like they're embarrassed so much. It's something else. It's some weird hybrid emotional reaction.
Like, why aren't you crying? Bam.
Yeah. Hit you right in the leg. So we had a really good time at that, though. And man, Pixar, dude, they just are, say what you want about how long they've been around or whatever, but they killed it. I think Brad Bird's a genius. I loved it. I thought it was great. And they made something work that I was sure wasn't going to work. Which is that, this isn't a spoiler because the trailer's all about it, but the idea that they're going to play with a very specific domestication issue of the mom's going to work and the dad's going to take care of the kids for a while, like that whole thing was handled so nicely. It was really great.
It's a trope that's been used so many ways, and they do it really well here. Like, it's not the Mr. Mom, you know, Michael Keaton drying off the baby's butt with a hair dryer while he cooks eggs with his feet or something like that.
No, I didn't. All of it felt super, for a cartoon, especially for an animated feature, it sure felt genuine to me. And I really liked it. And also, I'll just put it out there. What other animated movie are you going to go see this year with both Mike Ehrmantraut and Saul Goodman in the same movie?
Right. I didn't even think about that, but that's totally true.
Yeah.
Holy cow, yeah.
They never talk, but it's awesome. And okay, only one nitpick.
Sure.
Not a spoiler of any sort.
Okay.
One of the characters who has powers
never
gets to use that power in a meaningful way, and that kind of bummed me out. That was the only thing. And I'll let you think about who that might have been.
Yeah.
Let's just say it was someone in the family who was otherwise great, funny, perfect foil for stuff, great back and forth, all that, but he or she never got to use their one power that they're known for at all. Whereas in the first movie, they got to use it a ton. It was like super important to that first movie. To this one, they just didn't get to use it. And it kind of bummed me out because everyone else got a chance to use, you know, Mr. Incredible gets to use his strength. Elastigirl's doing her elasticity stuff. If I keep saying,
I was
going to
say, are you, I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm going to name all the members of the family who it isn't.
Yeah. Chat room's got the name. It's fine. It's just almost like they forgot. It's like, oh yeah, shit. We forgot he can do this thing. We should have him do it.
Yeah.
But,
there's a
really
couple
good
things on the ship where that person gets to use their powers a little bit,
but it's mostly just get from here to there. Like it's not like a,
right.
Like, you know what I mean? Now I've really given it away.
Now everybody knows what you mean, Scott.
Well, I had hoped that speaking about it like as, you know, this person would help him seem old or something, but now I've done it more. I'm shutting up now. I'm still doing it.
By the way, so do you feel like this movie potentially opens up an incredible cinematic universe? I don't think we can do like a solo movie with some of these ancillary characters solo, but I do kind of like the idea of maybe a Pixar one shot, maybe before another movie, where we get Elastigirl teaming up with
like that weird owl dude.
The weird owl dude, yeah. Or the guy,
who is the reflux? Freaking reflux, dude. Jeez Louise.
Reflux. See, there you go. Yeah, I want an origin story for Reflux as the next Pixar animated short before a film.
I'll also say this about this movie. There are moments of, and the first movie did this too, but there are moments of real dread in it. Like,
yeah,
the villain and the way that they handle that and stuff is pretty villainous, but also there, I'll just say the goggles bits. Mm-hmm. Really put me in a place of defensiveness. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, freaking what did the crap?
Did your theater have like a warning as you were going into the theater about epileptic seizures?
They not only had a sign out front, but they had a huge 10 or 12 second thing at the beginning of the movie that just sat on screen and told us to be careful.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, how can this, come on, this can't be.
Oh yeah! No,
like, are you kidding? And then it came. It happened. I went, "Oh my gosh, dude! I might have a seizure now. I might actually have one. This is so intense."
Yeah, we saw it so early that they didn't have any of those signs up when we saw it. And so, once I saw the signs with, we were seeing Ant-Man too, and I saw the signs for Incredibles 2. I'm like, "Well, yeah, of course, yeah, that totally should have been up there."
Yeah, and I just as a side note, if you're a dad and you have daughters, the stuff between Bob and his daughter are awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just so perfect. I've done that restaurant thing, dude. I've done that thing.
Really?
It didn't quite go as bad for Taylor as it did for his daughter, but it was, I've done that thing. I've done that thing where I tried to be the guy who helped make it work and it doesn't work. So it was really, Phil, all that stuff felt really genuine to me and I loved it. So there's that.
That's awesome.
Brian, I got a photo from you this weekend, and it shows up, and it just says the Church of Cannabis on it with a bunch of greenery and pottery business, and I thought, what is going on here? And you declined to explain, which means you probably have something to tell us.
I do. So we've got a family in town. My cousin and her husband and their son are in town currently, visiting from California. This is a cousin on my dad's side, my dad's niece, basically. And we just, you know, adore these guys. They are super cool. We watched them get married in Vegas at the Venetian for Christmas, like right around Christmas. That's why I was out in Vegas back then. Mm-hmm. And so they're currently visiting right now. They're on their way up to Estes Park to go see the Shining Hotel drive along Trail Ridge Road and see the bugling moose and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Wait, moose the bugling is, moose, what's that? What is that?
That's what moose do in mating season. They go and they take over the city of Estes Park and they go.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was
No, and they headbutt and they it's great. It's elk bugle, not moose. Well, what does a moose do? Make that noise. Come on now, Tin Vec.
They moo.
He says he grew up in Estes Park, so I trust him, but...
Went to middle and high school there.
Do they caterwaul? Do the moose caterwaul, Tin Vec?
Do they... Anyway. It's rutting season? Yeah, but rutting season, but what's the sound? Or what do we say if they're out there going...
They chirgle.
Chirgle?
The moose chirgle.
Yeah, they flatulate. Anyway. No? All right.
So they're on their way up there. Yeah. Now, being from California and just recently getting into this whole recreational marijuana thing, as California, you latecomers do, you know, coming out to Colorado, probably less so, but people are like, oh, make sure you go find a dispensary and go check all that out and let us know what it's like out there. We've, you know, we're experienced cannabis users out here in Colorado. Maybe not all of us. Maybe not yours
you.
Truly.
Yeah, maybe not you.
But many of us out here.
Right.
One thing I never knew existed, though, is the International Church of Cannabis, which was opened. It's opened its doors. Would you like to guess what day in 2017 this place opened its doors, Scott?
I would like to know. Yes. Could you please tell me the day?
I will tell you, April 20th, 2017
is
when this place opened its doors. Yeah, 420. Who knew? Huh. What an odd coincidence there.
Weird.
It's a former church. Actually, it's a former prohibition, I guess prohibition church, right? And they have, it's been around for 120 years, and they have all this, these photographs of this woman who worked there, and who eventually, when the old prohibition thing was going on in the 20s, this was like a big mecca for all that. And they don't, for the most part, there's no actual partaking of pot in this church. It's more of like a sanctuary for those who do smoke. However, on Friday nights, it's consumption night, and you can smoke and eat and do whatever.
So what is is it religious in any way, or is it, just is. Okay, how does that work?
And the religion is called Elevationism.
Okay.
And it's just to kind of describe it here from their brochure, which is made out of rolling paper, interestingly.
Oh, weird.
No, I'm kidding. through ritual guided by spiritual practice, church members use the sacred flower to reveal the best version of self, discover a creative voice, and enrich their community with the fruits of that creativity. Unlike other belief systems, there is no need to convert to elevationism. It claims no divine law, no unquestionable doctrine, and no authoritarian structure. So basically, what the way they explained it to us is that you believe whatever you want to believe, like whichever religion you currently believe, you stick to that religion. You add elevationism as a way of reaching your existing religion. So think of it as a little extra A1 sauce on the steak of your existing religion.
Wow. Okay. I will think of that as that. So this is a thing. Can you just walk in there if you want to?
You can just walk in there. They appreciate donations. I paid $5. Actually, I paid for all three of us to go in there. Tina did not go in, nor did the 8-year-old son of my niece and her husband. Yeah. But the three of us went in there and checked it out. And I need to post photos.
The art, I'm showing the chat room some time-lapse video of the art inside.
Yes. It's really neat. The mural at the top, right?
Yeah.
That you're looking at?
Yeah.
This thing is incredible. So the actual, what do they call that? A conservatory? The upper area where all the pews are and the pulpit and all that stuff.
Right.
There's this amazing arch with this gorgeous, brightly colored mural. It's beautiful up there. And the guy who designed it is a guy named Akuta San Miguel. And it is just gorgeous. Alicia Keys saw the time-lapse video that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And an article in The New Yorker about this. And loved it so much that she flew him out to New York to do her ceiling.
Oh, no way. That's
which
awesome.
Which you can do if you have Alicia Keys money.
Yeah, Alicia Keys money, it may not be, you know, Elon Musk money, but it's, you know, it's money.
Right.
It's enough to buy a new ceiling, I guess.
More on that guy later.
Yeah,
but, we'll talk about anyway, him. It's really cool. And if you come to Colorado, this will be now one of the things that that I recommend people check out in Colorado if they're in that area. Especially if they're here on a Friday night and they just want to hang out. So the upper area is that sanctuary, is that place with all the pews and the pulpit, and you hang out there. And it was empty. So the three of us went in there and we sat in like these chairs that they have in the front, which look like hands with a joint between their two fingers. And,
do they ever have like services or something, like where somebody gets up and talks to people?
I think they totally do. And you can get married there. You can rent out the place for a private function. If it's a private function, you can consume all you want in there. Mm. And there was a tambourine up there, so I played the tambourine for a few minutes like I was Stevie Nicks. and then so there's the upper part. Now in the bottom, there is like a big lounge with a snack bar, of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A bunch of video games. They had Space Invaders Deluxe and the old Space Invaders Deluxe, not a new machine that happens to play Space Invaders Deluxe, but this is an old machine with like cigarette burns on the console and everything.
This is crazy.
And they had this cool art. Some of it was these giant Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle things that I guess you could get from Target for a while, like they're the size of your big stormtrooper that you have.
Really?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
But then they also had these square lacquered pieces of art hang on your wall kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're like a black background with pixelated video game characters on it. And they had a bunch of stuff from Dig Dug, Pac-Man, stuff like that. No Joust, or I might have picked one up for you. No Tempest, or I might have picked one up for me. But you look at these things up close, and they're little pixels. And as I was looking at it, the guy down there says, oh, yeah, you like those? So it's done by a local artist named Kim somebody. And she uses Chiclets, like Chiclets gum.
Yeah.
Arranges those as the pixels, and then lacquers over it a bunch of times with clear lacquer to fix them in place.
That's crazy.
Really, really cool.
That's awesome. You know what? I'm surprised how, what's the word here? This goes against the stereotype that they're all just sitting around and can't and don't want to do anything. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, this is really cool. I'm looking at these videos and I'm like, I could live in that space. That's awesome in there. That's really rad. Although I don't need really the contact high so much, but anyway, this seems awesome. I'm totally impressed. By the way, their website, a piece of garbage, terrible website. It's made by monkeys. It's bad. So
well, and their brochure isn't much better.
Like,
they go with a gradation on the front cover from red to green, and you don't go with a gradation from red to green because you know what that stuff in the middle is?
Yeah,
baby puke brown. And, and then everything is Helvetica or Arial bold.
Beautiful.
And
listen,
with
you
full
and I,
justification.
You and I took a lot of typography classes. We know what's
wrong.
We
did. Yeah. We did. I almost offered maybe to redo their brochure, but they do that Helvetica bold with full justification, so you get lines in the paragraph that are just three words with massive amounts of space between them.
Yep, that sounds right.
So that it can go left edge to right edge.
Sounds right. Anyway. That's super interesting. Well, the website is literally like HTML, like hand coded.
Maybe I need to hit them up.
It's real bad. Elevationists.org if you are interested in what's going on there. I would actually recommend looking at those videos. The time-lapse videos are really neat.
The video, they had it on a big screen there as well. And man, just watching this, like, okay, that is really cool.
A week from today, Brian Ibbett will be in Philadelphia, one of the founding great cities of this nation.
That's correct. Eating a cheesesteak with Wiz.
Yeah, he'll be there, and he's going to be at the Barcade. Now, what's this place called, and where is it, and what time?
It is called Barcade Philly, and doing a meetup, Barcade Philadelphia. Doing a meetup one week from today, so the 23rd of July, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
If you get there a little bit earlier, it's happy hour, by the way, so get there a little bit earlier. I might get there a little bit earlier. Dollar off beer and well drinks and an $8 select beer and Jim Beam shot anytime. I'm at their website, obviously.
Oh.
They have, a bunch of taps. So if you like beer, look at that. There's like, 20 different taps on there, including Jack's Hard Cider, which I might have to try.
Are they video game themed at all? Is it like, can I get the Metroid Merlot?
The drinks aren't themed. However,
that's too bad.
Just a quick list of some of the video games they offer, Scott. They've got Adam's Family Pinball, Alien 3, Asteroids, Bubble Bobble, Burger Time, Bust a Move, Centipede, Contra, Crazy Taxi, Crystal Castles, Daytona USA, Dig Dug, Donkey Kong, Joust, Marble Madness, Mario Brothers, Millipede, Ms. Pac-Man, Punch-Out, Cubert Rampage, Star Wars Trilogy, Street Fighter, Tetris, Tron, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and X-Men.
Oh, well, then you had me at Joust.
No,
so.
I know. But no Tempest.
No Tempest.
That was Die Hard Arcade. I've never heard of Die Hard Arcade.
Look, Tempest is a dying breed. You can't find those spinny knobs anywhere.
Right.
Hard to get.
Totally true.
Well,
totally
true. That's awesome. We'll of course mention this again during the week so that people know what's going on. But
it's in Fishtown, Philadelphia. So come to Barcade Philly 1 week from today, 7 p.m. And I'm going to go get myself a cheesesteak, and I'm trying to decide if I go to Gino's or the place across the street from Gino's. They're like the two competing cheesesteak places.
It's supposed to be the best?
They're supposed to be the best.
Mm.
And maybe I need a local Philly person to tell me which one I need to go to. But I'm definitely getting a cheesesteak that night while I'm there.
Oh, yeah.
And it should be fun.
We'll have Philly people listening. Someone write in and tell us what where Brian should be getting his food.
A Whatnot says Pat's. So Pat's and Gino's. I'm not going to get both.
Yeah. What is he? Some kind of gluttonous man? Is he some sort of gluttony
I'm
man?
Gluttonous-free, Scott.
All right. That's all well and good. But now we donate our time to Dunaway, who swings in here and plays a game with us. If I am
Kate and Nola says, neither. Lived in Philly for 9 years. Go to gyms on South Street. Oh, really? Okay.
See, this is always how it's going to be. The locals are going to have some, about 10 reasons why the common knowledge about where to go sucks. It's always going to be that
way. I kind of like that. I like the gyms on South Street. I'm writing that down.
All right. Gyms on South Street. Who's on first? Okay.
I don't know. He's on third.
Let's get this going. Let me see. What are we missing here? We're missing Dunaway. Hi, Dunaway, you there?
No, I'm here. I'm sitting patiently listening.
Well, then you're waiting for this. That's right, everybody. That music means only one thing, and that is Babel Royale is about to kick off right here on TMS. Joining us is Brian Dunaway, who is often the foil of our things. I don't know what I'm saying. Hey, Dunaway, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Hi, Brian Dunaway.
Hi, great film sack this weekend, by the way. I had a great time at that.
It was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Suburban Commando, piece of shite, is what that movie is.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Here on the show, you guys call in 801-471-0462, and I think we already have one. Let's see if this... Nope. No, they hung up. I got to you too slow. Sorry, whoever that was. Keep calling back. If you get voicemail, don't worry. You just hang up and try again. 801-471-0462. And there it is. Let's see if we can take this one. And I want to unmute. Here we go. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Lois Haley, the Taffy wife, Scott.
Taffy guy's wife.
Hey.
Taffy guy's wife.
Hello, Lois.
How are you? How's things? Happy anniversary, by the way. I know you just had one.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, welcome to the show. You get to be today's contestant. Brian Ibbett will explain the rules, what you could win, and how this all works.
That's right, Lois. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Your job, Lois, is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for another one of these awesome, random, padded envelopes full of geeky toys, courtesy of B4 Tank Girl. She sent me a big box of these things, and I'm just grabbing a handful, shoving them into a padded envelope and sending them to you. And there's some really, really funny stuff in here. A lot of pirates. Some R2-D2s. You'll definitely get an R2-D2. Everybody gets an R2-D2.
Yeah.
Look under your seat.
Yeah, everybody look under your seat. You get an R2 unit, and you get an R2 unit.
So that'll be yours if you correctly pick the winner. Before they can start giving their answers, I'm going to give you guys your topic. They can start thinking about it while I ask you, Lois, who are you picking to win? So today, courtesy of Mac Deuce, a guy named Dustin Anderson, Mr. Anderson. This is, of all of the Babel Royales we've done, this is the longest list that I'm going to have to search through to find your answers. However, I don't feel like we're going to get even a third of this list. I don't even think we're going to get like a quarter of this list before one of you guys chokes. Yeah. So, Boy Scouts, right? Boy Scouts have, all their things you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
All those different tasks, all those different badges that you need to earn.
Uh-huh. We don't need no stinking badges.
There are 120 badges you can earn in Boy Scouts.
God.
Yeah, I'm going to let you guys go back and forth and see which ones you get.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't think we can get like a million of these? Because a lot of them are stupid stuff like, I don't know.
Uh-huh. What, Brian? Do you have an answer already? Toe
stumping. I mean, like, there's sure. like gonna be a million,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, the toe stumping merit badge. That's
Make
the
sure
one.
Make sure you give that one as your first guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get through this really, really quickly.
We will. All right.
All right. So start thinking about that. And Lois, knowing what you know about Scott and Brian, who do you think is going to come out on top on this one?
Wow, that's hard. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Scott.
All right. This is always a safe bet lately. I've been killing it. I don't know if anyone's noticed.
So. Well, I think in this case, I feel like it is a safe bet. I don't know. I don't know Brian Dunaway's history with Scouts.
Okay, look, we have a strong Scout presence here in South Carolina. But, I mean, it's nothing like Utah, because Utah pretty much says, hey, what's the youth going to do? I know. Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts. Oh, yeah. We're huge on it here. There's no question.
Look, and I was a Boy Scout, and I also was a Boy Scout leader. So I'm afraid this may take forever unless God says stump a toe.
Well, I have similar experience. Grew up in Scouts. My brother's an Eagle. I stopped short of that because cars and girls were cooler at the time.
Sure.
Didn't get your car badge?
No, but I got up
girls
to
a cool badge?
First class or whatever. And I was a Scoutmaster for like 2 years. So,
this
will be interesting. Let's give it a shot.
Lois, who would you like to go first?
Brian.
All right, Brian, you get to begin.
Right.
Would you like to use toe stumping? Get that out of the way right away. No.
No, I'm going to go with the old camping badge. That's like one of the first that you always get.
It's true, this is one of the earliest badges available. In 1911, the camping badge was introduced.
All right, I will do.
And you can still get it today if you play some Quake and you hide behind stuff.
you wait for your opponent to spawn, and then
that's right.
Their dead body, and then you take him out right away. Yes.
The ones I'm gonna remember the most are the ones that are required for Eagle, because that's what I would work on with these kids. Is the ones that they would try to, you know, they had a certain minimum they had to get. So those are the ones that jumped in my mind first. So, for example, I would say communication is in there. Communication or communications. Okay. Yep, all right.
Communication. Very nice. Good. Back to Brian.
Well, you got to get your fishing badge if you're in the South.
You absolutely do. Just plain old fishing. 1952 is when fishing was introduced.
Personal fitness. Yeah.
Someone to 1952 also for that one.
Yeah. Hated that one. Kids were lazy.
Someone to jump your jacks. Yeah. I'm your personal fitness
merit badge. I like it.
All right.
I like where you were going there.
Brian, back to you.
All right. Well, let's see. Could there be one for radio operation?
There it is. Yes, radio operations. 1923. That one was introduced.
Oh, my Lord. Mm-hmm. Very good. Citizenship in the world.
Citizenship in the world, 1972.
That's a weird one. I don't think we ever got that one.
I know. I like that that Scott's pulling from the Eagle Scout requirements.
Yeah.
It's the ones I know the best, so it's going to be my safe place.
All right.
Well, if you're out there camping, fishing, you gotta get your cooking badge.
Sure, cooking. Just general cooking. 1911, also one of the originals.
Swimming merit badge.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Swimming 1911 also, and also required for Eagle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta swim.
as was cooking, by the way.
Yeah.
So good job.
All right, done away. That one.
Back to Brian.
All right, how about while we're out there, we may want to do. I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's not called that. Hold on a second. Let me think. The one I liked doing was the geology badge.
Oh, I was gonna say there was no masturbation merit badge.
So
you were getting really excited there.
Then how come I have a whole sleeve full?
1953 introduced the geology badge.
Geology badge.
I'm gonna stick with there were three of these that you had to get. I already did nation, or no, I did world. So nation, citizenship in the nation.
God, you're doing boring ones.
I'm telling you, it's because I had
to tell Brian that there are three of them. Maybe he can.
Duh.
I should have stole those. That's a good one.
Yeah, shouldn't have said that. But yeah, nation.
Back to you, Brian. Nation is absolutely 1951. Whenever, was that one?
Right.
Okay.
Well, an easy one we did while we were camping and stuff was the Whitland badge, but it wasn't called Whitland. It was the carving badge, just wood carving badge. Wood carving badge.
1923, yeah. Wood carving. Very good, Brian.
Citizenship in the community.
Oh my
citizenship
God.
In the community. We the had trifecta.
We had to go down to the local, or the, what do you call it? The Capitol, and we'd watch local stuff happen. They had to do that as part of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We had to sit there and listen to a bunch of state legislature go back and forth. It was weird. It was boring as hell, but they had to do it.
Very good.
All right. Dunaway.
Back to Brian.
Well, we used to do the painting badge. Why was that there?
Mm-hmm. 1911, also one of the earliest ones.
Right. We're old school down here in the South. We don't do this whole citizenship crap. We don't even want to be a part of this place.
No. No. I hope this hasn't been said already. It feels like it might have. First aid?
Hell yeah.
First aid has not been said yet.
Okay.
Again, one of the 1911 ones, one of the originals.
This is my concern is that I'm going to say one that's been said. This is my main concern.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
As you should. You should be worried about
that. Yeah. All right. This is
good. How about some... What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, you slacker.
Yeah.
Like to get my... Get out there and get my canoe badge.
Canoe badge, eh?
Canoeing. Yeah. Very good. 1927 was the canoeing badge introduction.
All right. There was an archery badge.
Yes.
I don't know if there still is, but there was
I couldn't remember if it was called the archery badge, though, so that's the reason why I kind of hit away from that one.
Yeah.
What else could it be? Like arrow shooting?
I don't know. Arrow shooting? Bow. I thought it was like the bow badge or something. I was like, is it called the bow badge? It's not right.
The bow and arrow
What's
badge?
It called? What's the right word for it?
Yeah. Chat room's right. This game may last forever. We may.
That's what I said.
Because they will. Somebody will stumble, say the same thing they've already said, or guess something that is not a badge.
Sure.
Right.
I feel good about this. One of us.
Yeah. What do you got?
You feel good about that? A.
Brian, yeah. you're up.
This game's not gonna live forever. Nobody said the fame badge yet.
No.
Fame badge.
There's no fame badge. Oh no. Hey Brian, there's a fame badge. You should take that as your next one.
I remember there being, okay, so I know it's not, see, some of these, I can't remember the proper names for them because I remember stuff like, you gotta do bugs. I know it's not the bug badge. So is it like a insect badge?
Yes, I'll take it. Insect study. Yeah.
Ah, oh, good. Poop.
There we go.
All right.
Was that, what, do you think that's too insect versus insect study?
It's just odd. It's fine.
1985. Learning about insects and eating some pizza.
All right. I remember one kid who was a bit of a nerd. I'm not saying this is a stereotype. I'm just saying that's what he was like. I liked that kid a lot. He was super cool, but he's a super nerd. And he was really into coin collecting. So there is the coin collecting merit badge.
Oh, totally. I forgot about the coin collecting. That was actually a big one. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
It was 1938. Yes.
Yeah. He had some,
a couple of collector badges.
He had some rad stuff, that kid. He used to bring, I mean, he was into it anyway, so it was like obvious he was going to do it, but.
I never got my dead body badge, but collecting is always a good one.
That's waiting by the train tracks with Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's kind of, let me think here. I'm trying to remember all the stuff we've already said.
Yeah, that's the hard bit. I should be writing these down. Why didn't I do that?
I started writing them down, but it's too late.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember some of the first things you said.
Yeah.
All right. So the one everybody hated. Oh, the one that everybody hated, including myself, was the public speaking badge. Public speaking.
Oh, yeah. 1932, public speaking.
Oh, my gosh. I don't remember that one at all.
God, that was the worst. Everybody hated that one. We actually made everybody do that together because that way they would each have to. They wouldn't feel like they were alone. That was a tough one.
Yeah. Golf. Because we had another kid who was really into golf, and he did a golf merit badge.
1976, the golf badge.
76, wow.
Yes, that recent.
Wow.
I would have put that as way, I don't know why. But I'd say that was way earlier, but I guess not. All right.
Back to you, Brian.
All right, let me think here. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff that I know is not the right name for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So, boo, boo, doo, boo. Okay. Ooh, 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 ooh. I do remember one kid. I remember one kid.
Yeah.
He cheated because it was this. Well, he was trying to focus on stuff. It was the leather. what do you, leather working badge. Mm-hmm. That's where you
leather work. Yeah. 1951.
Okay. Yeah, you'd make little.
I was trying to think of the word for it.
One like, kid, like, every kid.
Leather making badge.
It was every kid right. where I was doing it. They all it was an easy one because they'd all make wallets and shit like that.
Wallets and belts.
Yeah.
We didn't do a lot of leather working. It was just like one kid was really into it. So.
All right. There were coins, but there were also stamps. Stamp collecting.
Stamp collecting. 1932, indeed. Yeah.
Holy shit.
The collectings.
We're gonna know all of these. I'm afraid.
This is one that I. This is the one I feel like we've already said, but I don't remember if we did or not. Is the astronomy badge there, or did Scott already say that one?
Astronomy badge has not been said, and it is there, and you've said it. 1911, also one of the earliest ones.
All right. The older kids had to do, we did what we called high adventure camps. And they had the whole reason for, well, not the whole reason, but one of the reasons they would do those is they would get something called wilderness survival.
Ooh, yes. Very good.
1974 wilderness survival.
Yeah, they had to sleep out in the raw in the air. They had to make food out of nothing.
Basically, naked and afraid is what it is.
Yeah, right? Kind of. Yeah, minus the naked part, but yeah,
minus the naked.
Yeah, I did not enjoy any of those. I hated those. All right. Dunaway, what do you got?
All right, back to Bran.
Of course, we had to have the. This is the problem. It was the. What was it called though? Okay, when you have the gun,
yeah.
Scott, what is it when you had the gun and you shoot it? What's it called? What badge is that?
The shooty McShoot mirror badge.
Is that it? Yeah, that's it. The shooty McShoot badge. I was gonna say the marksman badge, but I'm not sure if that's what it was called.
Marksman.
Is it called the marksman badge?
Is it?
There's not a marksman.
Oh.
Now here's where I need. A little bit of I need judges on this one.
Okay.
So Lois, I can't ask you, obviously.
Nah, because you know who you're pulling for.
Oh, come on.
There is a shotgun shooting badge. Do
shotgun
we count
badge,
that as marksman?
No,
rifle
no,
badge.
No, because that's a shotgun shooting badge. Marksmanship is different. That's not the same. Shotgun shooting is like scattershot, close range. It's not even close.
And now there's a rifle shooting as well, but there's no marksmanship. And I feel like that's a pretty specific thing.
Right? Yeah, I agree. I think Brian's up in the night. He's crack smoker. That is absolutely not it.
Congratulations.
You've done it.
You're a winner.
Oh, my gosh. That was a long one. Hey, all you have to do is send an email to Brian Ibbett at coverville@gmail.com. He'll extract your address and therein send you some cool stuff. Congratulations.
Much
and thanks
on
for
you.
Playing. And thanks for all the taffy all the time, by the way. It's always really nice.
Yeah. And that thing last week was great, too. Apparently, we were wrong. The Cherry Coke. It was Cherry Coke, not Dr. Pepper. And that... that one that we were so sure was Dr. No, someone we were so sure was Cherry Coke turned out to be Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, and it was fantastic one way or the other. It was really good.
It was really good. So. I'm not going to read through the entire list, but there's a few I want to call your attention to. One of the more recent badges added back a couple of years ago, 2015, they added the animation badge.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
So you can animate. Bugling, which we talked about earlier, that the moose don't do. And my personal favorite, in 1961, they added a badge for... motorboating. I like to think that I'm an expert at that one.
I was going to say the boating badge, but I couldn't. I wasn't sure if that was.
There's probably a boat. There's probably multiple boat things.
Yeah,
I said
canoeing because I remember us doing the canoeing, but I couldn't remember if there was like a boating exclusive badge. But motorboating.
There's not only canoeing, but there's kayaking there's rowing, and then there's like a small boat sailing badge as well. So many nautical.
What's the most recent one? Do you know? Can you see the one that's like the most recent? Is that the one?
I think it might be animation. Sustainability is up there.
Sustainability
signals,
badge.
Signs, signals, and codes also added in 2015.
Anything
robotics in 2011. Yeah. Programming in 2013.
Yeah.
Game design also in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Inventing in 2010. Oh, mining in society in 2014. Movie making 2013.
Mining in society. Those in
here we go. Most recent one, exploration in 2017.
Exploration.
Yeah. And you'd think that would be. Yeah.
That seems covered by other things, but.
Right.
I don't get it. That's a weird one.
Yeah, exploration.
All right. Kayaking is the one I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, you would have been fine with kayaking.
Is that
and it's
there?
Funny, you never even, like, you did your citizenship in the community, but you didn't do, like,
Yeah, if he hadn't had those citizenships in his pocket, they ain't awake and outlasting.
Oh, yeah, I would have lost.
Family life, personal management.
Oh, right, personal management.
Cycling, yeah.
I forgot about that. Cycling's in the, is in the,
Yeah, in thing? The Eagle Scout one. It's swimming, hiking, cycling, personal management, personal fitness, first aid, family life, environmental science, or sustainability.
I thought the swimming, hiking, cycling was a pick one. I thought
it is. Yeah, swimming, hiking, or cycling. It's three. You can choose one of the three.
Okay, yeah. I remember that because there were always kids that were like, I don't want to do all three. No, you don't have to. You just pick the one, Junior. Okay. Well, there you go. This is fantastic. We've done it, Brian Dunaway. We've earned somebody some gifts, and you have
Where's my Babel Royale badge?
It's in your butt.
Right?
It's in your butthole. Dig around in there. You'll find it. Brian Nibbett and I will be on the Boop Show later today, 3:30 Mountain Time, 5:30 Eastern. Check us out. Talking video games, doing our thing. Bye, Brian. All right, he's out of here.
And one more last call for Alex in North Florida, who was our winner 1 week ago. If I don't hear from you, man, that prize pack is going back in the pool. So you've got to send me an email, coverville@gmail.com. If you hear the words coming out of my mouth,
yep, everyone,
it's time to reach out.
Everyone back in the pool.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brung to you by...
Covering the fake news for real. Paul Defoe, along with the best news team in the business, breaks fake news from the worlds of politics, sports, entertainment, and Neptune. It's sketch comedy with a story, The Onion with a plot, featuring appearances from Tom Merritt, Justin Robert Young, Brian, I can't read that last name, I'm going to say Brushwood is how that's pronounced, and more like you've never heard them before. If the news is hashtag breaking, it's probably the fakest. Who's breaking it? Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at thefakist.com. That's fakist, F-A-K-I-S-T.
Yes, there you go.
With an I.
Fakist.
Fakist.
Or fa-kissed. Or
fa-kissed. How about, like sun-kissed, but with a fa instead of sun.
How about fakist?
Fakist.
That sounds dirty or something.
It really does, yeah.
Let's get to a couple stories. Elon Musk. Sure. Is been kind of in trouble lately. We talked about it last week with Jury. In trouble meaning he's having altercations on Twitter and just kind of freaking out in a weird public way.
He
I don't know why he's doing this.
Chill.
Yeah, maybe pull back a little and just, it's fine. Somebody was complaining the other day that he gave a bunch of money to a Republican super PAC and people should calm down about that. He also gave a bunch of money to a Democratic super PAC. He tends to just give money to all parties because whoever's in charge, he wants to be able to make his stuff and do his things. And have influence on both sides. So maybe do your homework before you freak out about that. But generally speaking, he's a little short fused, a little meh, you know, whatever, kind of freaking out, taking a little heat for some weird things lately. But anyway, he called a British diver who helped rescue those Thailand kids a pedo guy on Twitter.
Oh, jeez.
Pedo.
I don't even think that's the official term for a pedophile, is a pedo guy.
Well, if you're in, you always hear it in
power,
the
pedo guy.
Not good, I can tell you that. In Britain, you always hear him call people pedos all the time instead of pedophiles.
Yeah, pedos.
Yeah. So
Speedo has asked us not to pronounce it as pedo anymore.
Very good. He says Elon Musk has called a British diver who helped rescue those kids from a flooded cave in Thailand. Pedo guy. The entrepreneur's outburst came after diver Vern Unsworth. That's a great name. Mm-hmm. Told Mr. Musk to, quote, stick his submarine where it hurts, unquote. Jeez. Well, it's not very nice either. You know, nobody's being very nice in this scenario.
I know. Why? My God, we save kids. Like, why do we have to have a fight about it?
Yeah, look, the good part is you save the kids. You may not have needed the torpedo thing or whatever. Torpedo. Submarine, sorry. Submarine. You may not have needed it, but, you know, I don't know that it was that big a deal that he sent it there.
One's full of semen.
One's all... Well, never mind. We all know that joke.
We all know that joke.
Anyway, it says, after describing his offer to help with a miniature submarine as a PR stunt... Yeah, you could argue. Mr. Musk traveled to the Tham Luang Caverns of Chiang Rai this weekend, or last weekend, as it would have been, and presented the 6-foot submarine, which he said could help free the 12 boys and their football coach stranded for weeks inside the cave. But Mr. Unsworth, who was instrumental in rescuing the children and the team, said the vessel, the SpaceX and Tesla boss invented, quote, had absolutely no chance of working because the inventor had no conception of what the cave passages were like. In response to the criticism for the diver, Mr. Musk defended his invention through a series of tweets before adding, "Sorry, pedo guy, you really did ask for it." Yeah. Why'd you go there? Why do you have to do that?
Why that name? Well, and then that last line, after facing backlash for the pedo comment, Elon Musk added, "Bet you a signed dollar, it's true."
Yeah. A signed dollar.
He thinks he's got proof that this guy is a pedo guy.
Yeah, it doesn't make me want to rush out and buy a Tesla, is what I'm saying.
No.
Not that the Teslas aren't awesome and they aren't great.
Right.
But this is bad. This is bad front-facing PR.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, dude, scale. Throttle back, Sparky.
Sit down. Calm down. It's just Twitter. It's a little... I just think guys like geniuses like him should be a little less sensitive, a little less thin-skinned in public.
Yeah.
Leave that to the big idiot orange presidents. Let them be
thin-skinned. Right. I do like the fact, I mean, Mitsula made a joke this morning on Twitter saying, I wonder if we're witnessing the beginning of Elon Musk's supervision or supervillain origin story.
Yeah, it might be happening now. He's getting mad like syndrome.
Geez.
Vaping in the news. Getting people in trouble again. Vaping co-pilot caused Air China plane to plummet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is bad. Co-pilot for had an electronic cigarette in the cockpit of an Air China flight caused the plane to suddenly drop 6,000 feet. Sorry, 19,600 feet. That's 6,000 meters.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. And he mistakenly turned off his air conditioning system. This would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Anyway, without notifying the pilot, the unnamed co-pilot was turning off air recycling fans to prevent the vape from spreading to the passenger cabin. Instead, he toggled the wrong switches, which were close to his intended target, leading to a drop in oxygen levels that triggered altitude warnings. He is going to have what they call, quote, severe punishment in accordance with the laws and regulations. Boy, in China, that could be, you know, you're going to walk out of that room with no testicle or something.
Right, yeah, right. Chain marks on your butt. Yee. I don't know. So if he doesn't get fired because he was vaping in the cockpit, should he not get fired because he can't tell one switch from the other? I think that regardless of the vaping.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I meant to flick that switch and I flicked another one. It feels like, yeah, you don't know how to fly.
Yeah.
It's
or it's the second you do it, flick it back the second you do it.
Right.
Like go, oh, wrong one. Don't wait a while going, oh, what's this? We're dropping out. Oh, shit. I pushed the
dirt. He looks over at the pilot. What did you do?
Yeah. And he's thinking, well, just think of on the positive side, we're all smelling cherry vanilla before we die or whatever vape he had in there.
Right.
Meh. All right. Jeez, I'm glad I wasn't on that plane.
Ugh.
I'll finish with this one. A man drove a car sitting on a bucket and was steering with pliers. Now, you might hear that and go, what in the world? I'm under what conditions, like all that. My dad did this regularly with old cars that he had to fix up because he'd do auctions and fix them up and sell them and stuff. Sure. I've told you about the bullet hole one and all that.
Yeah.
He had...
And sometimes they'd have seats removed, right? And so he'd have to sit on something in there.
Yeah, and it wasn't always a bucket, but it'd be like a...
lawn chair.
Yeah, like a padded, like a big padded something, like a cushion from an old couch or something would be just there and he'd sit on that with no back or whatever. And then there were times when the steering column was jacked with or removed or whatever and the steering wheel was gone, like what happened to that, what was that car I drove with that girl and the steering wheel came off? The Yugo. It was a Yugo.
Yugo, right.
I think he did this exact car when he came out to get me. He took a pair of vice grips. There's no vice in vice. It's just vice.
Vice.
And he would take those two vice grip things and he would clamp them onto there and it created a steering wheel. So he could turn the thing with these two things. So it's not actually that crazy in my life experience. But to everyone else, this must sound insane. But
yeah.
Anyway, a motorist was stopped by police while driving, sitting on a bucket and steering with pliers. It's my favorite Hallmark afternoon movie, Steering with Pliers. It's fantastic.
Steering with Pliers.
The battered car, which also had no front wing, bumper, headlights, and a flat tire, This must be UK because tyre is spelled T-Y-R-E.
It is. Yeah, it's Norfolk in the UK.
And what the heck is a front wing?
I don't know. I'm guessing...
like a hood?
Like a quarter panel or something. Front wing.
Front wing. Maybe you're right. Quarter panel sounds right. Mm,
I don't know. Say front left wing or front right wing.
They tweeted a photo of it calling it the most unworthy car. Sorry. The most unroadworthy car. With too many offenses to mention.
Oh, it's the... Okay. They're saying it's the... well, somebody's saying it's the spoiler, but I guess a front spoiler. But, Zoe Brings Bacon says it's above the wheel. So it's like that protective...
Like the bumper?
No, the thing that goes over the wheel to protect stuff from getting in there, like the...
The wheel well.
The wheel well cover, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, because then otherwise, like, little rocks and stuff are all going to pop up into your transmission and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Yeah, we call it a quarter panel. You're right, Tinbeck. Mm-hmm. We do call it that. Well, these crazy Europeans and their weirdness. Anyway, there you go. I like the story because it was like reliving a moment with my dad. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Major Spoilers is here. We got Steven. He's got stuff. And also the Trek Nerd with a little bit of whatnot. And then later, we got a brand new mashup. So very excited about that. If you will but just tune in and stay during this
but
song.
Just. Ow.
But just. Bust, but just. Adjustment. Brian's going to play a song by Butt Adjustment. Go.
Yes, I will. And, well, they've changed their name. Thank goodness, because I couldn't find any of their CDs under their old name. From Portland, Oregon, a six-piece psych soul pop band fronted by American Sweethearts Chris Carl and Betty Downey. Their lineup includes members of Charlie Hilton, The Reptalians, etc. They're a close-knit collective of musicians, and their creativity exudes into the music they write and their performances. This is really cool. We had a player contestant on Babel Royale who's from Portland, Oregon, so we're going to stay in the Portland, Oregon area for this one. It's a band called The Fur Coats. Their brand new EP is coming out this month. I think it is here in July. I don't see a date, but I believe that's what they told me. Oh, there we go. It came out Friday the 13th.
Nice.
The new album is called, the new EP is called The Mirror Gazing EP. Here are The Fur Coats and Real Love.
I want to make you mine. Let me make you mine.
guys, let's talk about being an IT professional. Are you just starting out, or are you a seasoned one? Well, IT Pro TV is the only source you're going to need. Learn the skills to pass the most in-demand IT certifications, from entry-level to advanced. With engaging hosts and a talk show-style format, they call it binge-worthy learning. Sounds interesting. Their extensive course library includes CEH V9, CISA, CompTIA A+, Mac Certified Support Professional, and more. IT Pro TV records new content live every day, so you know you're getting the most current IT training. There's no need to leave home even. Stream courses live and on demand from your desktop, mobile device, Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, and so on. Visit itpro.tv/TMS and use the code TMS to try it for free for a full 7 days. Then you can also get 30% off your monthly membership for a lifetime of your active subscription. So as long as you keep an active subscription, 30% off, lifetime. Premium subs, which include, you know, unlimited Kaplan practice exams and virtual labs, are normally $857 per year. When you use that code, you're only going to pay $600. That gives you an idea. Standard subscriptions and corporate memberships also available. Choose a plan, create an account, and enjoy the journey. Visit itpro.tv/TMS. And don't forget to use that code TMS. That's TMS. And we thank them for sponsoring today's episode.
Hey, this isn't a cultural powwow here. The killers are loose on your streets out there.
One of the nice things about Crystal Pepsi is that it has a unique flavor.
Dishwashing liquid.
The Morning Stream. Don't worry about him. Worry about me.
You know, you're not wrong. It did taste like that.
Yeah. I don't usually interrupt the comments, the post-song audio clips, but this time I had to.
Yeah, no, Crystal Pepsi was gross. All they needed to do is have it taste like actual Pepsi, and it would have been fine. But instead, they had it taste like, yeah, like you said, like dish.
The novelty is the fact that it's clear. That's the novelty.
Yeah, don't have. I don't get it. I've never understood that. And just the other thing, one of the unique things about it is its taste. No, well, yeah, but in a bad way. It was bad. Mm-hmm. Educational videos are the best, though. Or not educational.
They really are.
Training, corporate training videos. All right. Well, hey, look where we are now. Look what we've done. We've entered into a whole new realm of entertainment. I have to run Skype. Hold on. Me, I hate Skype so much, but I'm running it. I'm running it. It'll take me just a moment. Okay, here it comes. Stevens, we're going to be right here, right now. Here he is. Let's enjoy a little music. This will make some music. Here we go. Boop. Boom, boom. See? But he's so fast, we don't get it very long. It's like,
no,
not that
really
big a deal.
That. Yeah, appreciate
it's,
that.
It's this thing right here. It's Steven Schleicher, everybody. Hello.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
It's Monday.
It is Monday. It's Steven Schleicher time. That's what Mondays are here on TMS. Comes on the show, talks about things in and around major spoilers, the world of comics, pop culture, movies, TV, all that. And we are on the precipice of Comic-Con, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Comic-Con.
Is it this week? This week.
It is this week.
Yeah.
Starts Wednesday with a preview night and then continues all the way until Sunday, 5 o'clock p.m.
Any hot breaking pre-news that we...
Oh, man, there's so much. We have a link over there at Major Spoilers, as we do every year, in the upper right-hand corner that says Comic-Con coverage, and you can find everything that is there. That has been released so far. A couple of things that might be of interest to you, Scott. You like the Blade Runner 2049, right?
I very much like Blade Runner 2049.
Do you want some more Blade Runner stories?
I'd love some more, please. How
give
can I
me
get
more.
Some?
Yeah,
so Titan Comics or Titan Publishing has teamed up with the Alcon Media Group to produce a new series of comic books and I think regular books as well. To explore the world of Blade Runner. In a quote, they say, "We're extremely excited about doing this. Blade Runner universe has barely been explored. There's so much more there. It's an honor to bring this world to life in new ways for a new audience over at Titan Publishing. So there's no word on a release date on when this might come, but the earliest is probably 2019, probably second quarter of 2019.
Okay. I can wait. It's fine.
Yep.
To me, that is right up there with Fury Road in terms of, like, important movie for me.
Anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there's going to be additional content in whatever form it takes is exciting to me. I'm all in for that.
Also announced, you guys remember that Alien 3 movie, right?
Yeah, that was a deal.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one, right? Did you know that William Gibson, the cyberpunk writer, actually penned a script for Alien 3 and it was never produced?
No. I did not know this. Was it still on a prison planet or no?
I don't remember everything that took place in that, but apparently Dark Horse Comics has gotten their hands on that script and they're working with William Gibson to turn it into a comic book miniseries that will come out in November of 2018.
Okay. I'm also signing me up for that as well.
Yeah.
Here's why. Because, okay, first of all, Alien 3, maligned by a lot of people, including me when it came out. I like it a lot more now than I did then. I think David Fincher has a unique take on the whole alien vibe. And despite some story misgivings I have about basically killing all the heroes from the previous movie to start things off in the third one, once you kind of get over that, it's a pretty fun movie. And also, anytime anything's set on a prison planet, I'm pretty much just sort of signed me up. I think that's just a great idea.
Well, this one's a little bit different because the Union of Progressive Peoples intercepts the spaceship carrying Ripley, Hicks, Newt, and Bishop.
Yeah.
But unbeknownst to them, they've also picked up another deadly passenger whose discovery will unleash a race between two governments to weaponize the xenomorphs in a horrifying and poignant Cold War-themed thriller.
Whoa. Are they all alive in this version of that?
There are some preview images over at majorspoilers.com, and one of them is Bishop kind of encased in something.
Yeah.
But then you see the alien egg just attached to his lower torso and opening up and ready to jump out on somebody who's boarding the ship to find out who's on board.
How could I need to read this to find out because I didn't know they could gestate in a synthetic. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Weird. Because they take some of the DNA from the host. So does that mean you're going to come out there with kind of robot or just white blood or what's the deal?
That would be kind of cool, right? It's got the knife and it'll do the trick with your hands.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
Okay.
And then you could cut off their head and attach it to some equipment and they'd still be going.
Yeah. I like it. Whoa. Yeah. See, you could have a conversation with them. It'd be like Ian Holm laying there going, I knew the whole time what I was supposed to do.
Milk keeps coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. One day I'll be Bilbo Baggins. See you, everybody.
Of course, the big thing is Hall H, and I'm sure people are already lined up to get into Hall H. Activities kick off on Thursday. Probably the big panel on Thursday is the Doctor Who panel, where we will have some more teases, and I'm sure the entire cast of the new Doctor Who series will be up on the table. Some Doctor Who trailers released during the World Cup final the other day.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, France. That was over in the UK, of course. Then it spread all over the internet. The following days. On Friday, a lot of television stuff. Marvel Studios is not there to talk about any movie stuff, but Marvel Television will be there to talk up Cloak and Dagger and some of the other things they have. Of course, a couple of Teen Titans Go screenings going on for the upcoming movie that comes out. Saturday is the biggest day. Look for trailers for Aquaman, Wonder Woman 1984, and probably a new extended trailer for the Magical Beasts and Where to Find Them sequel.
Yeah.
Also, wouldn't surprise me if you see Ryan Reynolds pop up this weekend in full Deadpool costume.
Oh, really?
Of course.
What would that promote? Just
well, so they've got the Deadpool 2 panel, which is taking place in Hall H. And in addition to that, they're also doing the uncut screening from 10 p.m. until 12 a.m. on Saturday. And word on the street is this is a pretty far out there uncut movie. And they expect that Ryan Reynolds will show up to have some fun with Deadpool fans.
Is that also is Fondue Macarena going to be there? What's her name, Brian? The lady you like? You named your cat after the character?
Marina Baccarin?
That's one. That's her.
Fondue Macarena. Actually, if I got another cat, I think I'd name it Fondue Macarena.
There you go, Fondue Macarena. Well, that's
By the way, I was going to say I didn't want to cut in, but I hear Marvel actually did originally have some plans to be there at Comic-Con, but all the people that they sent there mysteriously vaporized.
Oh, weird.
Oh, half of them are gone.
Weird, weird. Only the TV people were left. Weird. Do they have, do they deal with any other? Well, never mind. I don't want to spoil anything.
Did you not watch Ant-Man yet?
No, I went and saw the Incredibles 2 against your wishes or whatever. You guys both were saying, no, see Ant-Man first. I saw Incredibles 2. The kids all wanted that.
Yeah, Incredibles 2 was fun.
And we loved it. I thought it was awesome. So it's Ant-Man's on the docket. I'll get
over
there.
Well, the
tomorrow's $5 movie day.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first there are two end credit sequences in Ant-Man 2. One falls midway, and that will answer your questions about how does it tie into Infinity War.
Yeah.
And then the other one is stick around because it's just kind of a weird 1950s B movie kind of ending. Okay. Of,
it's a
shawarma, you know,
it's a
them.
Shawarma ending.
A shawarma ending. Oh, okay. It's shawarma endings. Sure.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with shawarma, but I mean, you know, if we're saying if we're comparing it to endings, it's a shawarma ending.
It's a shawarma ending. I'm into those. Well, my wife just brought me something awesome. This isn't for my birthday tomorrow, is it? This is for my
birthday. Tomorrow's your birthday?
Yeah, tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Thanks.
Oh, and happy birthday today to Dave Michael.
Yeah,
Zelsky.
Dave. Oh, yeah, Dave. Happy birthday, Dave Michael. Woo! Birthday time. Everyone's born in July, I swear. I don't get it.
Or at the very beginning of August.
I was born in September.
Yeah, or the beginning of August. Well, we're all about to summer. Oh, wait, you're an October baby?
No, I'm September.
September baby. Yeah. Ah, September
first
rain.
First of September.
There's a lot of songs about your month. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was listening to a whole bunch of Green Day this weekend for no good reason, just because I was into them. Mm-hmm. And some people thought it was because the UK has put American Idiot at number one again in the UK charts. That's not why I was listening. I was listening separately. Yeah, who knows why American Idiot has risen to number one, an album from 2004. Who knows why that's up at number one again in the UK specifically? Weird.
I don't know what their relation could be there.
No, can't imagine. But so I was listening to a whole lot of Green Day, and there's a song in there called Wake Me When September's
September
Done,
ends.
Or whatever it is. That's a fantastic song. It's really good. So all I'm saying, Steven, is when your birthday rolls around, perhaps load up a little Green Day and listen to that September song. It's good.
Let me see if we've got. Let me see if TMS Monday falls on with my birthday this year. Oh, it does.
Oh, sweet. We can celebrate.
Timing. How cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Depends on if you guys are doing a Labor Day show or not.
Oh, Labor Day is all about working. We'll be here.
All right. I'll be there too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe. Actually, what day is that?
A Monday?
No, day of the month.
That's September 3rd.
Okay, it's early in the month. All right. My thing in Ohio is not till the end of the month. So, well, we'll be here for you, dude. We're going to celebrate right here with you. That's what we'll do. Unless Brian has other plans. I guess we'll find out. All right. Well, there's that. What else? That's it, really.
That's it. I mean, it's San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, everything is about San Diego Comic-Con this week. When you're talking about comics and pop culture, like I said, be on the lookout for the trailers. I expect that Saturday afternoon, you will see some 4K trailers drop on YouTube for, like I said, Wonder Woman and Aquaman specifically. I think a lot of people are excited about the Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
More people will be very curious about Aquaman since it will be the first big standalone movie after Justice League.
Right.
So it'll be very interesting to see how that all comes together.
Yeah, I have high hopes for that, actually.
It really is surprising that Marvel doesn't have a bigger presence there this year.
They really don't have anything to talk about, right? I mean, they've just finished shooting Captain Marvel.
Well, plus they do their own Rising. Don't they do their own thing now anyway? They get up and they do their own announcements now.
That alternates on years depending on when the Disney event is going on.
But to me, it feels like it's like Blizzard at E3 or... They just don't go. Rockstar Games doesn't go to E3 because they don't need it. They got their own machine that kind of pumps the PR. Right. And it feels like more and more Marvel doesn't need Comic-Con to do that. Marvel Disney can just sort of have their own big stage event, have Paul Feig get up there and say, hey, check it out. Movie's up to 2030 and it includes more Ironmans or whatever. Right? Like, he can just do that. They don't need it anymore.
I mean, they can, and they have done that in the past, but really when you're courting fandom, and that's really where San Diego Comic-Con, and that's kind of where we see the rise of Comic-Con and the movies. Way back in, was it 76, George Lucas was trying to peddle Star Wars to people, and he showed them, you know, they had a Hall H, a quote-unquote Hall H, a panel of Star Wars, because they wanted to get those fans excited and get them out there to talk about how Star Wars was coming in the next year and people need to go out and check it out. And it definitely played an impact in the success of that movie when it finally launched.
Oh, guaranteed. So, but I'm just saying, haven't they grown past that? A better example is Apple. It's like Apple and the CES. They haven't exhibited there forever. Right. Why? Because they don't need to anymore.
Yeah, they've got their own.
Well, you do want at this point, you do want to get fans excited because we are on the cusp of the end of phase three of the Marvel movie universe. And a lot of people are like, what's coming up next? And if you can't get the fans excited, then it doesn't matter if you're having a, you know, a standalone event or a D20 event with Disney or not. If you can't get those fans on board, they're going to be very questioning and have a lot of internet blogs and Twitters and YouTubes of why Marvel is suddenly becoming irrelevant.
Is it over? So. Is Marvel's reign over? Movie champion?
I would argue that it's a good opportunity for DC to steal some thunder since Marvel's not really showing much there. But outside of that, though, I think all you'd have to do is Marvel could do more with a single tweet account saying, you know, with a hint of some weird hero thing coming up than they would from, like, I guess I'm just saying they're big enough. You know, it's the same way that I keep using Blizzard, but Blizzard doesn't need Steam to sell its games.
Right.
It has its own platform. I feel like Disney Marvel kind of has their own platform now. I don't know. We shall see. This is all coming up. So the coverage you want and crave will be at majorspoilers.com. I recommend bookmarking that damn place and being there as much as you can.
Yep.
Steven Schleicher is Major Spoilers on Twitter. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
Stay hydrated.
Good idea. It's hot out, even in Hayes, Kansas.
That's right.
Well, Brian.
It's true.
We've come to that point where we hope Daryl's internet is decent.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We hope.
He is currently not on any of the services we normally call him on, so I'm just going to try one of them, see if we get lucky.
All right.
Might work, might not. Oh, if not, there's not a lot of Star Trek stuff happening, but, you know, he sent us some notes, and they say some things. Let's see. Daryl Skeels. All right, we'll try him on Skype as well, just to see what we get here. Okay. Because he's definitely not answering the other one. Okay, here's some more music for you. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, this one did work. Hi, Daryl Skills. How are you?
It's working.
Yeah.
Hello. Yay.
Did you forget? We usually use Discord now, but I think you forgot that we do that.
Well, that thing never works, so I didn't even start it up.
All right. Well, fantastic. It's a good piece of information to have before I call you on the other one.
Why bother using the tool that we're already using?
Yeah, why not? Hey, let's get this ball on the wagon. Is that a thing to say? Probably not.
It is totally not.
No. The ball is not on the wagon. Also, my video is jacked since I added Daryl. That's great.
Oh, no.
I don't know why. Look, I'm all out of sync. No, I'm back now. Wait. Yeah, I'm back now. Okay. What are we doing? Oh, Daryl, hold on. I got a theme for you. Why don't I play that? I hear is there a meeting going on?
No, there always is.
I love the meetings.
Apparently all right. You didn't have to go to this one.
Here it is. Where is it? And I can't find it. So that's great. Oh, there's a serious meeting.
Bill just made a joke.
Yeah. Bill, you're always such a hoot. Okay, there it is.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
It is. Daryl Skills is here to talk about Star Trek goings-on. And maybe we can get a piece of this meeting while we're at it. So, Discovery. I saw today there were some pictures shown of the new season of them walking around the Enterprise or something. Did you hear about this?
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's new. Discovery Enterprise. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. News. There is Star Trek Discovery releases teaser image featuring the Enterprise. Let's see if I can pull this up for the chat room. This is kind of breaking news-ish. For whatever reason. There we go. Okay. Ad-supported network. Oh, my gosh. I don't want to fight with this right now. Anyway, there's apparently... here we go. CBR is not going to kick me out. Here we go. Oh, see, that's the Enterprise right there is what that is. Look at that. Ooh,
the front view?
Yeah. Yes. Side view. That. There's a side view. There's probably more. But there's a shot of the Enterprise facing the Discovery, and the Enterprise looks good. Like, It looks Kirk era, but the movies. Do you know what I mean? Like they, they which you have to do. You can't do that old plastic white thing, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do that. But then there's also a shot of her standing in the Enterprise, and it's got these cool blue and orange walls, which is pretty awesome. I'm generally excited about this, but it also begs the question, why didn't you just make one about the Enterprise? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what they're doing now is they're like, well, we want to get more fans this season, so let's bring the thing and everyone knows. That's safe, you know? I don't know.
Well, I don't want to... Well, maybe I do. I was going to say I don't want to rehash of stuff where we've already been.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's what this is going to be?
Like, I hope not. I hope they just visit, say, hey, guys, how's it going? Okay, bye. And then go on to the
Enterprise.
Next
All right, Kirk, go do your thing. And
I'll bet you money.
What you had to do is you had to do a 3-year mission. No, I'd say make it longer.
Well, hold on. It won't be Kirk, right? It'll be Pike, won't it?
Oh, right. Pike. It'll be Pike.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I'm, you know, they're going to do more than that. Like, you might want that, but they're going to go in there and spend a bunch of time in there. And that's fine.
And,
we'll see.
And I know they're going to Spock's quarters because I think it's that picture you saw with Burnham. And in the background, it's got the number, the cabin number that is Spock's cabin number.
Oh, is that that's canon, that number?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Interesting. Who's playing Spock? Do we know that?
Do we? I don't think we know yet.
Oh, it would be cool if it was, what's his beak? Mr. Permanent Beard. What's his name? Harry Man from Heroes. I can't think of his name.
Oh,
the Spock in the movies.
Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto. He has a
permanent beard.
He has a permanent beard.
He does always has a 5 o'clock shadow. Always.
Yeah.
Doesn't he
is a hairy, hairy man. all right. Well, we don't know. We just know these pictures are out and people are talking about it, so that's cool. But Discovery was nominated for Emmys in makeup and sound editing. That's pretty cool. Were you hoping for more than that, or did you figure that's?
Oh
good
yeah,
enough?
I was hoping for some kind of acting stuff because. That was all great. So I don't know why not.
Jeffrey Jones. What's his name? Jim Jones? No. These are all the wrong names.
Doug Jones is who you're thinking about, right?
What is it again?
Doug Jones.
Doug Jones. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doug Jones should have...
Well, you were talking about the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It was, yeah. And then I talked about Jim Jones, the guy who killed everybody with Kool-Aid or whatever. It's going great how I'm referring to him. But anyway, he's so good. I just wish there was more being lavished his direction. And I guess makeup in part is him because he's wearing it well. But anyway, we'll see. We also know that Jonathan Frakes is directing another Orville episode. So that's cool. When's that come back, by the way?
What was the one he did
one last?
What was the episode?
I don't know. Last season, something or other.
Yeah, the only season. But which episode was Frakes?
There was a couple of them, I thought.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
The statue of...
I never did finish.
The Burnham statue that they found or something?
Never finished that season.
Oh, the Orville one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you call it?
It was not Burnham. It was the statue of...
Burnham? How are you getting this?
No. The blonde. Sorry, I was crossing my Orville... The blonde, what's her face?
The first officer lady.
Yes,
From Kirk's girlfriend that's naked.
From Friday Night Lights.
Oh. right. What's her name? Francine Fernelius. That's it. What else? Full Discovery cast will be at the annual Trek convention, Star Trek Las Vegas. Will they do a panel, do you think, up there?
They will go crazy and do lots of stuff, yes.
Oh, that's great news.
And they'll also be in Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
They'll be doing both things.
Yeah. When's the Vegas one? Do we know when that is?
That is it the first or second week of August? Something like that.
Damn it. It's my mom's 80th birthday celebration. I would consider going to that Trek convention in Vegas.
Yeah, I want to someday, but it's expensive.
Those are a blast.
Yeah. It's in Vegas, too, Brian. We could totally make an excuse.
It is in Vegas. I mean, you know, I tried to do too much. That the one time I went, it was we were selling Smooth Federation. I was attending a trivia competition, and it was vacation time with the wives for George and I failed at all three.
Yeah.
Well, I did go to the Trek convention.
Yeah, we were there just long enough for Krusty Space Hands to not give me a photo of himself because I had dollars short.
And the name, by the way, Adrian Palicki, big thanks to Steven in the chat room.
Oh, yeah. Adrian Palicki. There you go.
Adrian Palicki.
She's pretty great. What else? Target to carry new 8-inch Mego figures for TOS Sulu. Why just Sulu? Why not everybody else?
That's all they've shown so far, but there are going to be other ones too. And not only are they doing Star Trek ones, they're doing other 60s shows like I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, really? So this isn't about Star Trek. Are
these done style, like with the removable clothes and stuff? I'm just saying it's that style, the Mego.
Mm-hmm. Style. What are you saying about I Dream of Jeannie that we don't know, Brian Ebbett?
I don't know.
That's the only way you can see her belly button is you got to... take it off.
You have to take off. But I mean, these are that's what I was getting at, was that these are the typical Mego style like they did in the 70s.
But are they also super low def like the old ones? Because the old ones were like weird rag dolls almost. You know what I mean? Like they weren't like little...
They were okay. They were pretty good.
Yeah, they were like G.I. Joe figures with superhero clothes.
I always thought they were like more like little soft beanie baby kind of things.
No. Migos were they were like G.I. Joes, like plastic, plastic bodies with accurate screen renditions of their clothing.
All right. Well, Sulu getting this limelight there.
There you go. You can remove Sulu's top, have him run around with a sword, and be accurate to that episode of.
I think they're doing Sulu and putting him out front because there was no original Mego Sulu.
Oh, really? Because there was Spock and Kirk. I have one of those in the box somewhere. Mm-hmm. Sulu, what's that episode where he runs around with the... Is that the Naked Time or... Time?
Yeah, the Naked Time. Yep.
I get that right the first time? Jeez. It's fantastic. Not the Naked Now. That's a TNG sort of riff on that deal, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And the whole... And why do they call it Naked? Is it because he got naked? Is that why?
Yeah, it is, actually.
It really is?
Not because he got naked, but they found people naked in the shower.
Oh, right.
On that planet.
And that's... And so they titled it The Naked Now because they found naked people in the shower?
Well, I don't know why they titled the second one that, but that's why they titled the first one that.
Really? That surprises me for some reason. They saw naked people. What's that from?
It was from that DVD that woman brought home, and it turned in like she was going to show some kids' show to her kids, and it turned out to be a porn DVD.
Oh, right.
Volva. And we have the...
When she's naked, it will show.
What is that?
That's a guy from like 2011. We haven't heard him in a long time.
It's awesome.
Volva. When she's naked, it will show. All right. Well, this is all good. Are you going to get one, Daryl? Are you going to go buy yourself the Sulu and do whatever with it?
Oh, I probably won't.
Yeah.
Collectibles, the figures are not my thing.
Not really your bag.
It is kind of funny. I'm looking at the original set of the Mego figures with Kirk and Spock. You get, looks like, Khan. You get the Gorn, I think. Mm-hmm. You get Bones.
Well, I might get a Gorn. That would be cool.
I think the original line had a Gorn. I just put a link in the chat room.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if the red shirt, if it's just generic red shirt guy.
Or Scotty.
Yeah, it's not a clear, like, the only ones that really look like the people are Kirk, Spock, and Bones.
I'm not sure Kirk even looks like Kirk. Some of these are bad. I'm looking at these right now. They don't really look like Kirk. He looks like a over-tanned...
Oh, that's just a Klingon. Oh, it is a Klingon. Right. I forgot that the Klingons just looked like Eddie Munster with a goatee.
Right. Yeah, they didn't have any head stuff.
No.
Yeah.
No,
and they never explained it except that time Worf in that DS9 episode said it was you don't want to know or something like that.
But you can see the plastic arms and stuff in there, that those are, you know, not ragdoll, not just stuffed with stuffing, but they had...
I think what I'm thinking of is the clothes. Range. That's what's throwing me.
Oh, okay.
Because they're so bunched up and it's like a sweater.
Yeah.
Which I don't love that look. But then there's like this Captain America Mego. It's plastic head, plastic hands, and forearms, but I think the rest of him is like a puffy thing. I don't know.
Where's the picture of that one?
Here,
it's not a true Mego then.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe. Here, I'll
sounds
put it
like
in
a Toy Story doll.
I'll put it in our thing.
Okay.
It, they
oh, yeah,
just
no,
always,
that's the, that they, is the plastic. It looks like he's ragdolly, but that's just because the clothes are so puffy. Like, yeah. The clothes are baggy.
The McCoy is awesome here. I mean, you know, yeah. It's McCoy, but it's not a very good McCoy. Anyway. Well, all right then. Daryl, if you get one, let us know and we'll show it off on the show. It's Daryl Skills. He's the Trek nerd, and you can find him on Twitter at that name. You can also find him on a show called This Week at Trek, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, anything else before we kick your sorry ass out of here?
That is all there is.
Great. Bye now. Okay. Oh,
it's funny. I'm looking back at these. I had the Hulk. I had Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, you had a bunch of
Falcon.
Migos?
Yeah, I had a few Migos.
That's cool.
I think I had Mr. Fantastic and the Thing, too. Yeah.
I have a number of them, but I don't know where I got them from. I think it's more recent, like in the last few years, someone sent them or something.
The new versions, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I don't have the old stuff. I think those are worth a lot of money. The old ones.
They are, yeah. I don't think I still have them anywhere. They probably got tossed.
Yeah. Well, let me toss something else at you.
Oh, well,
Here's what I'm going to toss at you. A brand new mashup from Jamie.
Yay!
This is a true mashup, not just me mispronouncing things. This is a mashup from episodes 1517 to 1524, right up until two episodes ago. So pretty current stuff. Check it out. Enjoy. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. I'd rather stick a pen up my butthole. I don't want any of this.
You need the hard stuff, Brian. I ain't doing
exactly.
It anymore.
It's like, oh, no, I want fresh porn.
I need to get...
It's got
to
be fresh. I want porn that's less than half an hour old.
That's right.
How to save a life in Adam's home.
Anything that got within 3 inches of my fingers.
Lunatitude Osamamina. Guess how about saying there?
Define sex, though, if you don't mind, please. Yeah,
really, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Descriptively, please. Slower.
Thank you. Was it Elvis now?
Thank you. I don't know why it's Elvis. He turned into... I don't know where he went with that.
Iron Man! Oh.
Lives again.
Nobody helps him!
Nobody helps him!
Oh, all right.
Why would I lie? Why would I lie?
You wouldn't lie. Fridays. Gotta get down on Fridays.
Should I get in the back seat? Should I get in the front seat? Which...
Accidentally clicked like on a dick pic.
I saw two ducks banging once, and I've never let it go.
Yeah.
It was a horrible, violent thing.
Shit. Oh, man.
I'm okay.
No.
Whoop.
Ha!
Shit.
Y'all.
What?
Yeah.
Burp.
Eat.
What?
What?
Eat.
What?
Wow. Oh, my God. That was the greatest thing ever.
Oh, my gosh. It's great.
That was the best thing ever.
People always say, how do you guys not remember all these old things you say? I'm like, I don't even remember what I said last week. And there they all are.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot we did that little thing with that mashup. Anyway, great stuff, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Send more. We think you're awesome. It's going to be it for the show. Brian, what's going on with Soundography today?
Posting a show in probably about 10, 15 minutes. It is the Sam Cooke Soundography. So if you like the music of Sam Cooke and you don't know much about history or you don't know much biology, well, you will know a lot about Sam Cooke after listening to this episode. Check it out. It's going to be at soundography.com. Like I said, about 5-10 minutes. And we'll talk about the mysterious way that Sam Cooke died, too. Kind of weird.
Oh, right. There's a whole thing about that guy.
It was, yeah.
And how old is Mysterious. He? How old is he then? He died in 64.
64, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was a very influential dude.
He was. He was Mr. Musically. Soul.
Yeah.
And
then he died mysteriously.
And he died mysteriously.
Well, mysterious. Yeah, that's a good show for that sort of stuff. So check that out. He also looks a lot like Denzel Washington, which is just something I noticed once. Anyway, that's going to do it for the show. Don't forget, you can vote on our titles here. Everybody who's listening live, frogpants.showbot.tv. Do that during the song or whatever, because that's when we are going to choose, is right after that.
There are
absolutely hundreds. You can also find our website at frogpants.com/TMS. A link to our Patreon is there, so please consider supporting us. And as always, you can find us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. And things are hopping over at the Reddit as well, frogpants.reddit.com. Some good stuff happening there. And if you want to contact us, themorningstream@gmail.com. or contact us on the site or whatever you're convenient with. Okay. Brian, let's get out of here. You got some music to play
sure,
in the end?
I do. Megan wrote in and said, "Hi, Scott and Brian. My name is Megan, and I wanted to request a song from my best friend and boyfriend, now fiance of 6.5 years, Nick, between working full time." It took a long time, by the way. Nick and Megan, come on, Nick, get on a little faster next time. Between working full time, house hunting, and planning the wedding and honeymoon, how is there this much to do? He's been a little stressed out. I'm hoping to send a little surprise encouragement to him with a cover of our song, Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
Sweet.
That's your song? Really?
I love it.
All right.
Love it.
All right, come on. I leave the rest in your capable hands, Brian. Nick, I love you so much, and I'm never gonna give you up. Signed, Megan. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a great song.
It's not their fault though that it was ruined by Rick Rolling. It's not their fault.
I don't know. They've been together 6.5 years. I think that Rick Rolling was a thing before 6.5 years.
No, I'm just saying that the song wasn't, it existed before that. It wasn't Rick Astley's intent to have it get ruined. So if you genuinely, unironically like that song, I feel bad that the world tried to ruin it for you.
That's true. And of course, we're joking, Megan and Nick. Congratulations, you two. You guys are awesome. All right. This is a version covered by the Hot Stewards on their 2007 album Cover Up. I think it actually makes the song for me a little bit more listenable. I kind of like this version a lot. Here are the Hot Stewards, Never Gonna Give You Up.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Know your job, be a good team player, and concentrate.
Okay.